Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your host,
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And special guest,
Charles.
Yay!
We have the lovely and talented and actually, like, ridiculously talented
Charles Knutson
on here. Unlike those other
also,
people that we've had on
lovely,
here.
Lovely, yeah.
It's the mustache.
It is indeed. A lot of it is that mustache.
Yeah.
So before we get to
call it a handlebar
before we devolve too far in down that pathway, we need to have described what it is going on in front of us because Jenna's getting really excited about it.
All right. So the drink that we named but did not create last week was the whipped cream on senpai.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you remember this.
Senpai's whipped cream bikini is the other, I guess, thing. All right, so I bought things that people would buy if they watched a lot of anime and grew up in America.
Yes, you did.
Like
this is accurate.
White gourd drink.
Yep.
And peach flavored ramune soft drink.
Yep.
Which we are about to open. Go ahead.
All right.
All right.
And
so
again,
just
and push
pop
down,
that thing down
firmly. Yeah.
And hold.
And that's why. All right. Good. So
I got mine all the way firm.
You did. All right. So now it can be removed.
Mm-hmm.
And then pour. I don't know. Half. Half seems like a good measurement.
You use the bubbles as to catch the ball.
A little bit more. Oh, I think I may have gone past half.
Oh, that's just fine. Mm-hmm.
A little half past.
I just
bar rag.
Need a little bit of.
Have
here
all
we
of
go.
Them.
Okay, so
and then whipped cream vodka. The rest of the whipped cream vodka, and then
that
just
we
a,
had.
Oh yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so we have white gourd, peach ramune, whipped cream vodka. Is that it?
And then Kharkov for padding.
So you watered it down with more vodka.
Yeah, that's right. I did.
With vodka.
All right.
Well, so vodka. Let's find out.
It's not going to be good, but it will be awesome.
Oh, wow. This smells interesting.
Yes.
Huh.
I don't...
Hmm.
I mean, it smells like something I'd get at United Noodles, so this seems appropriate.
Huh.
That's...
It's...
Interesting.
Interesting?
Yeah.
Huh.
I mean, I'm going to drink it.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's...
It has layers.
It's kind of like like a peach pie that was shown...
X-rated films?
Not X-rated films, but, you know, something in that area.
Gremlins, which was the first PG.
Yes.
Somebody awesome taught me that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was that?
I don't know.
I don't
remember.
Gremlins was not the first PG-13. It was one of the last PGs before they developed a PG-13.
It was
that and Indiana Jones within like the same month. And MALC? Something like that.
Yeah.
The people in charge of naming those things went, you know, maybe we should have another rating.
We'll stick it in between these two.
And the big scene was the gremlin in the microwave that really kind of solidified that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
And probably the end when the arc is opened. Indiana Jones.
Yep.
People melting.
The melting face and the apparently melting is a big deal.
I don't remember the gremlin in the microwave in Indiana Jones.
Oh God, spoilers! Spoilers.
Oh yeah.
God, how can we spoil this for Salsa? He's only had his entire lifetime to see the fucking movie.
Yeah, I don't remember any microwaves in Indiana Jones.
There were 10 of them. They were all hidden.
You know what? Ask Tim Wick about it.
Yeah. It's just like the pineapples in Psych.
Mm.
That asshole, by the way, Tim Wick, is like fucking, he's in California
Serial Rear-Ender.
Doing like Disney shit or something.
Yeah, again, apparently.
Yeah, apparently he's not in Florida for that for some
kind
reason.
Kind of his thing.
But yeah, no, he just keeps posting about how awesome his birthday is and this, that. I'm like, fuck you, asshole.
I mean, if that's your thing.
No. It's already rear-ended me.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, Charles.
Yes.
I've heard that joke. Fuckers.
Charles is a longtime friend of the show, and he is one of the crafters out at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Yeah.
And he runs McGregor Games.
Woo!
Owner, proprietor.
Along with the wife.
Artiste. You've been out there for fucking ever.
Yeah, we've had the booth since 1995. Shared it with my sister-in-law for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Till the booth next door became available, and we kicked her out and bought out her share of the original booth.
Okay.
You were out before then.
Oh, yeah. We started as full-time participants in 89 back in the day with Clan Tartan when they were still mm-hmm. out there. Mm-hmm. So,
oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Which is how I first got to know him was mm-hmm. through Clan Tartan.
Mm-hmm.
And he's watched me scrape out sheep stomachs and get dangled over a fire into a cauldron for... There's a picture.
The baby cauldron, as we used to call it, because it was big enough to cook one.
Yeah.
Huh. His
or two or three.
Well, right.
Or a few, yeah. No, I was like 9 at the time, and I could have cooked easily.
Your mileage may vary. Indeed.
His shop is over by Como Cottage, which is where I got my start.
Yeah.
And that's how I met him originally. Was because he's a friendly guy and he knows people over there, and so I was introduced to him right off the bat as being one of those people that is a cool dude. So you've been out there forever
scary. Almost as still, long as me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Going strong. So, how is your year treating you?
Not bad, actually. We're doing a little better than last year. Mm-hmm. Last year was a little slow for us with all the rain and mud and crud.
Oh, last year was bad for everyone.
So I can't complain. But
you can.
Well, I can, but
have
I
you
should.
Met this
we can always you complain. Can
totally. Don't underrate yourself, Judge. You're
that is the Festi's favorite pastime is trying to one-up each other's misery. So it's kind of our thing. One of the things that I saw already was you have sold a lot of big tables this
year. I was about to say, we should actually talk about what we sell.
Yeah, I suppose, I mean, alright.
What do you sell?
Well, the main thing is we do games from the past, board games, dice games, card games. We kind of focus, not exactly. Since we started it out with Clan Tartan, they had a 17th century focus, so we... Mm. Kind of took that, and we focus on games that were known in Europe prior to 1700, and kind of have had that as our guideline.
Yeah.
And along with that, over the years, I started most of the games. Celtic knotwork has been kind of my obsession for a long time, mm-hmm. so we decorate most of the games with knotwork. I eventually started doing bigger pieces of knotwork. I'd find used tables at Savers and Goodwill and upcycle them with...
Yes.
Oh my God,
you're so trendy.
with Celtic knotwork
designs. Would you say you flip them?
You got to flip them a little.
Actually, please don't.
Like you've got to move them around, right?
Well,
so you can get to various areas. So he probably does mm-hmm. flip them in a very literal sense.
Occasionally, he's schlepping them.
In a very real and legally binding sense.
No, but it's been a lot of fun. Usually I sell like one table a year, and this year we've had two of the big ones sell and one of the smaller ones. So it's been...
Holy shit.
Even though some of the regular product hasn't gone as well... the big stuff has been selling this year, so that's been really encouraging.
Mm-hmm. That's
excellent.
Fantastic.
In addition to the tables, you also have canes.
Yep, I've been kind of playing
canes.
Playing around with... I do a wood-turning demonstration out at Fast 2, so I've got a modern lathe that I play with at home, and I started picking up some vintage cane handles off eBay or other places and started fitting them out, fitting new shafts on the cane handles. Mm-hmm. And I've been playing around with different things now.
You know, most people update a shaft with a handle, but you, sir, update a handle with a shaft.
as a matter of fact, I bought my cane sword from Charles.
Hmm.
So.
Yeah, that wasn't one I made, but it was.
Yep.
I've been having a lot of fun with that. I came across some Pokemon gear shift knobs last year.
Oh my god!
So I started putting those on canes, and yes. I recently found a.
It's for when people play Pokemon Go.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And a soap mold for a Death Star.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I some of the game parts and things we cast out of resin, and it was a silicone mold. The resin works in this soap mold, so I started making Death Star cane handles.
That's fantastic.
And so just for shits and giggles. And
yes.
So, yeah, no. So if you at any point get over to the Renaissance Festival, by all means, walk over to Charles' shop and take a look at his stuff.
And play a game.
Absolutely.
And it is the original game store.
And the really scary table is gone now.
The scary table?
The really scary table. For years, I've kind of played along, wanted to do, for shits and giggles, a Celtic-themed Ouija board.
Oh,
and so last year I realized, oh, I've got this used table sitting around. It was 36 inches in diameter, butcher block that I got cheap. And, oh, well, I'll put a Ouija board on that and, you know, with a Celtic design. And turned out great. But it was every once in a while people would come in and... I had one woman walk up to it and say, oh, that's beautiful, and put her hands on it, and then realized there was a Ouija board in the center and pulled her hands back quickly.
Yes.
And a couple times we had people who would not come into the shop once they saw it.
Wow.
They wouldn't come within 10 feet of it.
Wow.
And so it was...
A little more than I...
It was definitely...
I might eye it suspiciously, but...
Interesting to see people... how they reacted. Of course, there was always the other people who would jump right on it and play with the planchette that I had made.
Of course.
And, we'd warn them if they summoned any demons, they would have to take them along with them when they left. But
right.
Well, naturally, that's just the polite thing to do.
Right.
But that's sold a couple weeks ago.
Just a circle around it.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you made a sale there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we have introduced our guest,
I want to know just a little bit more about the games themselves.
Okay.
Because I mean, I grew up with some of these games with you teaching and making and all of the rest of that, and I find these games interesting because there's, you know, you think of like older games and you're like chess. Chess is an older game, but there are way cooler older games than that.
Yeah.
I mean, I do love chess.
Yeah, but like Nine Man Morris and Pope Joan and things like that people don't know exist.
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun. And even some of the games people know, like backgammon, there are actually variations of backgammon that go back to ancient Rome.
Nice.
So we've put together, for even some of the common games like cribbage and checkers, we've put together booklets of rules with historic or regional variations to help keep those... games interesting.
So what's the oldest game you have?
Well, they're probably the Nine Man Morris or 12 Man Morris as we play it. It's there's said to be some examples of the game boards that have been found in Egyptian temples, but my more recent reading is some of those might be later than where they were found. But what was really neat, we had a couple of patrons in the booth just this weekend, and they were in Capernaum. They were in Rome, in Italy, and they had a couple of pictures of Roman Nine Man Morris boards that had been just carved into stones. And probably, people just sitting around playing with seeds or stones as game pieces.
Right. Kind of like they have chess boards built into the tabletops in parks these days.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they say there's supposed to be some churches in Europe that have Nine Man Morris boards that have been carved into their church pews, you know, to keep the kids busy during those very long sermons. And...
Awesome.
Man, my kid had, my church had like, crappy fun bags with coloring books that were mostly colored in and like three crayons. It's bullshit.
So this, I have an odd question. I wonder if you noticed a more interest in games like Nine Man Morris in recent times, because the Assassin's Creed games.
Yeah, there's a mini game.
Mini games for Nine Man's Morris. I'm wondering, because is that a game that people, since the in the last 10 years, recognize more?
Yeah, as we definitely have people recognize it. Okay. There's a lot of people, older folks recognize it, because it's still probably more common in Europe than it is here as a folk game.
Yeah, but my grandma definitely played it with my grandpa.
No, we definitely have people recognize it from Assassin's Creed. Okay. One of the fun things was we had a few years back, we had a man who came into the booth had been in the Peace Corps in Africa. And he recognized it because he had played it with whatever people in Africa that he had been helping.
Oh, fun.
And it was kind of neat because he was saying they had a specific phrase that they were saying when they would capture a piece, and he wasn't he was new to the language, so he wasn't quite catching what they were saying. And so he had to ask, and we're taking your goat. So they were stealing each other's livestock.
I'm saying that from now on, I'm taking your goat.
Which, you know, makes perfect sense, you know, within the culture.
Oh, absolutely, sure. Yeah,
so,
yeah.
So that was...
I mean, if chess pieces can be bishops and knights, then
sure, yeah,
whatever those are could definitely be goats. Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of fun, some of the little tidbits that customers give to us. We had someone give us a new version of cribbage. We already had 14 variations of cribbage.
What?
Yep. Everything from solitaire cribbage to six player playing partners. Ooh. This guy, he was an older guy, came in, gave us a version that he calls Arizona cribbage because he's a snowbird and he winters in Arizona. Mm-hmm. And he plays a lot of three-handed cribbage with a couple of guys in the trailer park where they stay. And they play three-handed, every man for himself. But any points in the crib count against the dealer. So whenever one of them starts getting ahead, they'll discard good cards to the crib to pull them on back. So it's a little more cutthroat.
Oh my God.
I love that. That's
there are layers
evil
of that strategy. Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite lines in my spiel in the booth is... we like to say that games are like languages. They have dialects. They change as they go from place to place.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Nice. House rules and things
everyone
like that.
Everyone has their house rules for Monopoly. I mean...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's...
Yeah, my wife and I get into fights about whose house rules we're going to use for apples to apples.
Yes.
Because I played them one way and she played another way. And when our worlds collided, now we have to decide whose rules. So we play with her rules.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how that's going to work.
Yeah.
It was the same thing with categories, the drinking game categories. Many people... go ahead, finish it off. The drinking game categories, many people have their own list of what 13 things each card... Yeah, represents, and it was weird to like come to different parties and find that people were extremely vehement about what some of those card ranks meant. You know, oh no, it can't be this thing because it has to be this thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. At one point, we had printed a dog tag for a friend that had all of the different rank rules on the one side, and then a foamy beer on the other side.
I gotta try that with poker someday. I just be playing a game of poker with people and be like, no, that's not the way I play.
Stephen Bruce had there was a joke about a specific hand. It was the dead cat. And it's an actual joke that I don't remember the full thing, but it was basically this guy plays a dead cat, and this new person at the table is like, "That's not a hand. It was, you know, the shittiest hand you can get." He's like, "Nope, it's a dead cat." And dealer's like, "Yeah, house rules, like dead cat." And so a little while later, this guy's playing, and he gets the same hand. And he's like, "Ha ha, dead cat." And they're like, "Only good once per game, or something like that." Yeah. Like, yeah.
God.
But he has like the dead cat hand framed with the house rules written into it. Because like Minnesota tournament champion so many times, they kicked him out and whatever, like made money for a while in Vegas doing
yeah,
it. Like
dude news.
Yeah. So yeah, dead cat. And I don't remember the cat. It's like 2, 6, 8 and like specific suits and everything. But yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just
only good ones per game.
Yeah. Or once per night.
Once per night.
Yeah, once per night. Only good once per night.
Everybody knows that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a cantrip.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
So it was another festival weekend.
It was.
If you couldn't tell by the way our voices sound and the coughing.
I've got the dust cough today.
Yeah, I
did not get enough rain.
I got the fest lung.
Yeah, no, I have been dust coughing for the past couple of days.
I've been playing pretty much once a year. I've probably been posting. Woody Guthrie had a song, the Dust Pneumonia Blues. Usually post that to Facebook at least once a year during festival these days.
Since I'm a belly dancer, I have pneumosparkliosis.
Mm. God damn it.
Have you never heard of this?
I have.
Okay.
That's why he's.
But I keep forgetting.
Wincing. I see.
Until
that's
somebody.
That's your problem.
Yeah.
What's wrong with pneumosparkliosis? It's the best disease ever.
Clearly, it's a disease.
Yes.
Oh, well, I mean, there's that. You're but it's a so disease. Sparkly.
That is true. I'm a sexually transmitted disease.
That means.
I mean, technically.
I'm trying to.
Just smile.
With 100% mortality.
Just smile.
Yep.
So what awesome thing happened to you this weekend, James?
I had several incredible and amazing things happen to me this weekend. I think I'm going to say my best moment on a personal and professional level was I was balancing an umbrella on my head, which is a thing that I do. Just, you know, randomly.
Like you
whatever.
Do.
Like you sure. do. You just walk around with an umbrella on your head. And not like point up like it's tricky. Just, you know, flat on the head. So that I can get from place to place but still be something of a spectacle. Like when I'm out running errands or whatever. So I'm walking around with this umbrella on my head. And there is this little princess girl, like hoop skirt. And she's about 6, 7-ish, somewhere in there. Hoop skirt, garland in her hair. She's dolled up. Little princess. And she's like, oh, my God, you have an umbrella on your head. I was like, I do. And she's like, how do you do that? And, like, I did some, you know, different walking around, and I spun, and I, like, you know, just, like, did the little jump and then the bounce up and down kind of thing and all the rest of it. And she's like, ah! Like, this blew her fucking mind. She's like, I want to learn how to do that. And her dad reaches into the bag they had and pulled out their folded-up umbrella. And so then I got to spend another few minutes teaching her how to balance an umbrella on her head.
She's going to do that all
she
the
time.
She
was a fucking natural, too.
Yeah.
Like, I think it helped that she had the garland.
Sure.
Because then it, and, you know, something course, to push against. And that's fine. Whatever. She's sick. She can do that. But, yeah, like, and she took, like, we spun, and she felt it all out right away. Then she tried to walk, and it fell off. And I was like, you can't go so fast. You've got to take slow, careful steps and make sure that your head stays even. And so then she did that, and she's like, oh, it's staying on my head! She was so fucking excited by this umbrella on her head.
That is deeply exciting.
Yeah. And, yeah, and, like, as I'm walking away, the parents are like, you are so her hero right now. I'm like, that's the dumbest thing to be a hero for, but sure,
what?
On it.
She will probably remember.
Yeah,
for the rest of her life.
Yeah. Well, and I also explained to her poise and grace, and you know things like that.
Wait,
so
poise and grace.
Yes.
Or
as opposed to poison grace.
Poison grace.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
All of the above.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. It's a little good, a little bad. But yeah. So like I had this conversation with her about you know. Body movement and isolation and how to work with physics, actually. I was like, there's physics involved with this, too. So I'm hoping that once she gets to physics in high school, she's going to remember this and have, like, you know, just pay more attention, like, in a body way. And anyway, so that was probably my best, like, actual personal and professional moment of
that
the weekend.
That is adorable.
Oh, my that God. Is... And I dropped all the eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Which is why I'm now perimenopausal.
That's pretty funny. And then my daughter came along, and she made a lot of other eggs.
Oh,
drop.
My God, your daughter was fucking cute.
My daughter went Holy off shit. With her aunt on Sunday and joined the royal court for a morning and got to be up on front gate with all the finery associated therein that with royal court. And she
did mother-in-law
was,
make that costume?
No, that was Princess Sophie's old dress.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I saw this and I dropped eggs.
Yeah, she was decked out.
Like you were walking around with a carton on your head?
Yeah, just
like an umbrella.
Right.
Full court regalia. This beautiful, like purple and yellow dress. And
it's like a little hoop skirt and everything.
It had a hoop skirt and a half cloak. And it had
and the sleeves and the
yeah,
fucking,
just the yeah,
oh
absolutely.
My God.
This thing was full goddamn like to the nines court regalia that she was wearing, and she had her hair done up beautifully in braids, and she had a little tiara on, and and Jesus, she was a vision.
Oh,
it was so freaking cute. I was the happiest papa on the planet. And then I went and I made people laugh.
Yay!
So yeah, that's what I did.
So there's your moment.
That was my morning. Yeah.
Yeah, we're going one moment at a time because otherwise.
Moment at a time.
The weekend was decent, but I have to say the things that stood out for me were working with Comedia. Kyle and I were conscripted to do a Saturday show and a Sunday show, last show of the day.
I walked by one of these. Yeah.
The first one was Hamlet, as told by the Fest's own William Shakespeare, our peer.
Yes.
And
who's fucking killing it. Oh my God.
The beautiful and talented.
Yeah.
Lovely and talented Peter. And so he told that, he was Hamlet. The Crown Prince was the narrator. That's how it was.
Okay.
And then Kyle and I were Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Yes. Oh my God, I was so hoping you were going to say that.
As the two squires, as the idiot squires, we were Rosencrantz and Guildenstern.
Yes.
And it was deeply satisfying. We were murdered.
Of course.
And they kept track of the body. You know, every time someone would die, the prince would yell, "Body count!" And the audience, there was a decent number of people just hanging out watching this thing, and they would yell back, you know, "Five!
Excellent.
Six bodies," you know, that kind of thing. Yeah, it was great. And then we were again conscripted on Sunday as squire and knight.
Oh.
And it was a build your own fairy tale.
Okay.
Oh. And so they got to choose whether the monster played by Kyle kidnapped the beautiful princess or kidnapped the handsome knight.
Sure.
And, of course, the handsome knight got kidnapped and locked in a tower, so I stood up on a bench, just, like, shaking in fear as the monster paraded around me, and then there was a sword fight. Well, the beautiful princess had a sword, and Kyle had a tiny plastic spoon in his mouth.
He was born with a tiny plastic spoon in his mouth.
Seems apt.
It really does. Yeah.
But
I'm not questioning.
He was using. They were looking. They were like, "Who has a weapon that our monster can borrow?" And one of the kids held up a plastic spoon. One of the little ones, like the one, like the size
like
the of the end of your finger.
Taster,
yeah.
The test ones.
And he was like, "All right," jammed it into his mouth, like held it between his teeth, and he's like parrying the slapstick blows. With this little plastic spoon until he's run through and then smacked on the ass with the slapstick.
Yes.
And defeated. And then the princess rescued me. But instead of us getting married, she went to Paris. And I was left alone.
I mean...
Yeah.
Fair.
I mean, it's Paris. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was it was a fantastic show. We had a great time, and the kids loved it. So
nice.
Yeah.
Excellent. Very cool.
Yeah.
Charles, did you have any incredible moments over the weekend or the run? Like you haven't.
There was
the last
one thing.
Few years. I mean,
well,
you've got.
Yeah, well, there was a. It was gonna. There's a leather booth. A couple doors up from us, mm-hmm. and of course, like several of the leather booths around the site, they sell foxtails.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So there is, I think it was second weekend, there was this family walking by after checking out their wares, and just as they were walking by our booth, there was this little girl who piped up, "What does the fox say?" "Nothing. It's dead."
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Yes. Oh, and just one of those, out of the mouths of babes.
Oh my god, so beautiful.
But there was one thing I thought I wanted to share because I think it's kudos to this the cast. I once in a while I'll walk up and catch part of cast call. And I did that Sunday, and Cara was talking about a couple of weeks ago, there was a kid with some illness mm-hmm. who was king for a day.
Yep. Terminally ill, yeah.
And that the family was going to be back on Sunday, and that they had such a great time that they just wanted everyone to leave them alone
right.
and treat them as normal patrons.
Time. They wanted nothing to do with us. Yeah.
No, yeah. We can be overwhelming. It's true.
Yeah.
That was really fun to hear.
Yeah. No.
Yeah.
I think it's a big compliment to the cast.
Excellent.
Very much so. Yeah. No, we are a whole bunch of wearing our heart on our sleeve people. In
and
this cast.
We do those like Make a Wish or mm-hmm. similar type things a few times throughout the year.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. When people ask, we try to accommodate.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The whole point is to create an experience
mm-hmm.
and
create some magic. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is yet another service we provide.
Mm-hmm. A little hungry.
All right. Another round.
Sure. Yeah. What do you got?
Cool. I got to play with the royal court Sunday night.
Oh, yeah.
Your daughter's not the only one that gets to play with the royal court.
She's way more adorable.
Oh, yeah. God, yes. Are you kidding me?
Like, you were pretty adorable.
She
is a tiny child.
She's so cute. With oh, my God.
Lilibeth was adorable, but Jenna was gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
I felt really, like, ladylike pretty, which isn't something that happens to me much.
If you weren't a belly dancer, what did you say when you burped and farted in front of everybody?
I didn't. That's the thing.
What?
I didn't do it. It's bizarre.
Did you do it later, or are you still plugged up?
I'm going to need to borrow that cabinet.
Oh.
No, but Esther lent me one of her dresses because we're mm-hmm. very similar in size. And it fit me really well, like way better than we thought it was going to.
Hmm. It looked like it was made for you.
Yeah, it really kind of did, which was just one. And it looks like it's made for her too. And we have slightly different bodies. So that's mm-hmm. bizarre. It's a magic dress. And yeah, I got to play with the court. So I got to do court dancing, and there were a few fun moments I had with this. Number one, because getting approved to do a different character is such a process.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure if I was going to be able to do it or not.
Right.
And then, like, I got word that I was able to. So I didn't tell anybody I was doing this.
It's because they don't want people changing
right.
their characters like
no.
people change majors in college.
Oh, God. So I didn't tell anybody about this, including my own daughter. So I went to go do the evening court dance with Terpsichore. And, of course, a bunch of Terpsichore people, like, did a double take. All of the double takes were fucking incredible.
Like, you got one from us, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. That was fun. But my daughter hadn't noticed me yet. So I got in line to dance Holy Palmers, which is a set
Holy
dance.
Palmers.
So you've got ones and twos, and the ones move mm-hmm. up the line, and the twos move down the line. So I made sure we were positioned just far enough away to where I'd still be able to dance with my dad. So we switch into this four set, And I go to, like, do the hands for the little circly bit. And she looks up at me and she's like, what? Like, it was just this look. What the? What? So that was a delightful moment for me in the court gown. I had several more. The fucking gate singing the chariot song, and some verse about yet another princess, and I'm just like,
that was so good.
yeah that just delighted me. Of course I couldn't acknowledge it, I just had to be there and be pretty and,
yes,
pinky out.
The character I was playing, by the way, was Millie Devignon.
Oh.
An actual historical character.
Oh.
A bisexual duelist who would flirt with the ladies and then challenge their husbands to duels and win.
This somehow doesn't surprise me.
She was also an opera singer, so you know. So, like, just
right.
Yeah.
Little typecasting.
Of course, Millie could not have her sword with her because it is a festival day, but... she may have flirted with a few of the ladies.
Mm-hmm. Going the German route.
Mm-hmm. Do it. So, yeah, but one thing that I do want to acknowledge... I was just going to ignore it.
No, I know.
I kept trying to ignore it.
Yeah, you dodged that bullet, and it got me right in the face.
Eventually, it got to...
I was hoping that something that she was going to say would explain...
No. So anyway, but
damn it, Salsa.
A thing that I definitely have to give kudos to for the court, because I was there with court for Sunday evening, which meant I was there with court for closing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they are the last people away from the gate.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I you guys, I know it doesn't sound difficult, but standing. Like, yeah. And I, like, because, you know, okay, so I do this dancer character, which is like all of this hard work. I do all of this dancing all the time. Mm-hmm. I get to sit sometimes, and that's amazing.
Uh-huh.
Sitting is an ordeal. You don't do it unless you really have to, because there's hoop skirts involved and all the rest of this. So just standing, and then standing some more. And I, like, because I used to do the mayor's entourage, so it's not my first time in hoops. It's not my first rodeo. But, like, I had to remember to shift my weight while I was standing. And, man, my legs hurt. Like, this was fifth weekend. My body should be fairly well acclimated, or I should at least know what parts are going to hurt by the end of a weekend.
Yeah.
There were new parts hurting.
Yeah.
Because I stood.
Yeah.
A lot.
If anybody thinks that it is cushy to be the king or the royal court, those guys are already getting dressed and in costume half an hour before I even think about waking up.
Yeah.
And they are still up there on front gate after I've already showered. Like, they bust their ass all day long. And it's not as technically difficult or grueling as something like what I do or what Jenna does or what James does, but it is a long slog.
It's like the difference between running track and cross country.
Absolutely.
Holy shit. It's different muscles.
We're sprinting ourselves as idiots.
Yeah.
We're allowed to do dumb stuff and go be dumb and have all kinds of crazy fun.
But we sprint... And then we rest. Yeah. And then we sprint. Mm-hmm. And then they sit there and they're doing marathons. Mm-hmm. And they're just steady.
Almost
all fucking day.
All of their improv skill, instead of using their improv skill to be, you know, constantly, like, underhandedly making people laugh in the same way that we are, they're making people laugh by besting... people who are trying to make them look foolish, or they are trying to outthink patrons who are they are interacting with, and they have to maintain that regality. They have to maintain that.
Yeah, I had to interact
where we can
by
be crass as fuck.
Not being loud. Mm-hmm. And I didn't. Like,
I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do. I just want to yell. Can I? I can't yell. Shit.
Because there's always those patrons who are trying to bait the cast or the crafters who are trying to interact.
Actually, what I found the most was a gentleman that wanted to play the part of the lord or the gentleman or whatever and kiss the hand and say things that they thought were witty. And you know, whatever. I'm like, I play a belly dancer. I don't think I have felt more skeezed out in years since I started playing a belly dancer than I did in a cork gown. Mm-hmm.
There is a weird thing about that.
Yeah.
There was a
monsieur, but please do not. Do you want to see these ladies dance? I'm sorry. I panicked. Wrong character. Okay.
Belly dance Tourette's.
I think I did 1 year as clergy. I played Padre Peter, the parish partner, a seller of indulgences for one season.
That's
back before we. Started the business, and I think I got harassed more as clergy than ever did wearing a kilt. And I think, well, that's probably some of it was, you know, shock the priests was the game people were trying to play. So
I think so, because like as a belly dancer, like and these two things happened in the same day where I had guys that were going to kiss my hand and try to woo me and. And, like, linger at my hand. It's the lingering that really just, like, you're not...
Malingering.
And I'm withdrawing.
Ew. But, like, earlier in the day, as a belly dancer, I had a drunk patron lady, like, make eye contact with me and then start to walk over. And I'm like, all right, I'm game for chicken. Let's eye contact this shit. Whatever. So eye contact, and she gets to, like, maybe a foot away from me. And she shimmies at me. And I'm like... I'll allow this, and so I shimmy back at her. And then she pulls out a little red devil ducky.
Yes, I was seeing these.
Yeah, and she wanted to put it in my cleavage. And I was able to, you know, do the hands and say, no, I'm not comfortable with that. And she's like, okay, cool. Like, she turned into a human being right away after that and was like, do you want it anyway? And I was like, I don't know what I'd do with it, but, you know, I don't want to turn down a gift that's very kind. She's like, well, you can give it to the next person you see. Oh. So I did. It happened to be Esther. And it matches her court gown, the one that I borrowed. So it was all
It's pretty perfect.
But when I am, as a belly dancer, able to say no.
Yeah.
Like, just hands in front, no.
Yep.
And everybody respects that because...
You have, like, the force field that you can project with your hands.
Right. Mm-hmm. Whereas as a lady character, that's a lot harder to navigate. Like,
you just gotta... Lie back and think of England.
No.
There was a convention in town several years ago that had two different themed cafes. There was the host cafe, which was a bunch of guys in blazers and ties, like school blazers and ties. And then there was a maid cafe. And I went to the host cafe because it turns out I knew somebody there. I found $10. So there is that in the story. I found $10.
Yay.
I picked that up and I was like... I think I found one of your host's tips. She's like, yeah, one of my hosts was looking for something. Do you want to... The person who was running the host cafe, she was like, yeah, do you want to, like, give him his tip back? And it turns out that we were old school friends from grade school. Weird. But,
what the shit?
Ended up sitting with him at his table, and, like, there was the implied relationship between the two of us, so all of the girls at the table were giggling and blushing constantly.
Right.
But then, like, afterward, I walked past the maid cafe, and it was deserted.
Yeah.
And they were just in there, like, dandling their feet off of the chairs and things like that. And I talked to her later, the woman who was running both of these things, she was like, yeah, it was weird. The host cafe was crammed at every hour of the day, but no one went to the maid cafe. Hmm. I was like, yeah, like, as a dude who is super into the maid outfit thing, I would not feel comfortable going in there.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't know. Like,
I think maybe some of it is that there's more of an overtness to the implied objectification of that thing. Whereas, like, with the lady, it's all about the you're supposed to be a gentleman, and
sure.
We don't think about the more emotional, psychological, sociological, like, things that happen there as opposed mm-hmm. to just physical objectification. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's way easier to draw that physical line than it is the other levels of things going on.
Layers.
Do you think that we have, like, a history of learning not to physically objectify, or at least not overtly physically objectify, but to emotionally objectify?
Oh, God, yes.
All right.
Holy shit, yes. Yeah. We'll do a Facebook poll. Yeah, all of the chicks will agree.
All right.
Straight up.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah.
You got another one, James?
I do.
What is it?
Saturday was a really ridiculously, like, damp and shitty warm day.
Fucking gross.
It couldn't be an armor day. As much as I was ready to take the armor out, you can't.
Yeah.
Especially because there was thunder and lightning visible.
Very, very sorry.
Oh, and Kyle was like, no. No.
You didn't want to wear the metal out in the lightning storm?
It's not a Faraday cage.
No, right. That's fair.
So, So I had determined that Sunday was going to be armor day, and I was going to... Kyle and I horse-assed around outside the gate all morning, went and did Talking Bush, and then I fucked off to Ville, and then immediately after Ville, it was armor time.
And it was mid-60s on Sunday. Yeah, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Perfect for that.
It was perfect armor. It was a little cold for the belly dancers.
I was in armor for longer that day than I was for the entire Memorial Day weekend.
I was in it for the rain more and than the pacing.
4.5 hours.
Yeah.
And I was on the go the entire time doing the show with Yara Ganti and...
Pause. I'm picturing, like, Ted and Callie going, like, amateur.
Right. I'm betting. And, like, the jousters, I was talking to one of the squires because the possibility of doing an idiot's joust on foot. And he was like, all right... there are forms that your insurance, they're going to need you to fill out, and there's this, and then we need to bolt these things onto, and I was like, all right, let's sit down and actually talk about this. I called my insurance, and they were like, we'll get back to you. We'll get back to you.
Yeah.
I haven't heard back from them.
No. Aww.
So, but, right, the armor that the knights are wearing for the joust is... at least twice as heavy.
Fucking joke, yeah.
Right.
As both because of all of the pieces and everything, and also just because the steel has to withstand them taking a lance to the chest or throat without them dying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
yeah, you gotta pass the punch test.
Yeah. So the armor that I've got is probably, we're thinking like 50 or 60 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
And so. 4.5 hours of that, I was weirdly sore. Like, sore in places of my legs and butt that I had been sort of vaguely sore before.
Sure.
But it was not like that. It was terrible. I haven't felt like that since I hiked Eagle Mountain. It was monstrous. But I had an amazing time and decided to climb up to the gate. The top of the gate in armor for silent shenanigans, which was mostly me pointing at people and then Kyle yelling at them.
Yeah.
which is stupendous.
That sounds like an amazing game.
And then I would like wave my hand as if I was, you know, trying to communicate something, and then he would give them some...
He would interpret
fortune.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Including telling the king that he's getting a little fat.
Oh, God. Oh,
right.
God. Oh,
And then, like, I just, like, covered my face and slid down inside the wall. And, like, tucked the umbrella over me, the little parasol.
Yes.
As an Edward. But the king rolled with that pretty kindly. So, good. Yeah.
Charles?
So armor day, Charles.
Memory changing characters. Had a old friend whose name shall not be mentioned, but he decided to go in drag. Last weekend of festival back in the day, and he borrowed know if it was my wife's bodice and skirt or one of the other women, I think. But he decided he needed more cleavage. And he duct taped himself together.
I mean, that's a way to do it. And I have done it in a pinch. I'm not going to lie.
We think he still might have scars from pulling off the duct tape.
I assume he's hairier than I am.
Yeah,
I
know, I
one would assume. Is a bit,
not anymore.
I don't know if you could get hairier than you, Jenna.
You can't make the puppet face and pretend like that's going to be okay.
So there are weird things that happen to you when you're pregnant. I have 5 nipple hairs.
It's about as many as I
So I am.
It's really about as many chest hairs as I have in total.
Yeah. Hairier than everybody else on this podcast. Wait. Yeah, I got a hairy chest, bitches. No, what?
I'm telling you, bearded lady, that's your future.
I'm working on it. I've got the peach fuzz. I'm perimenopausal. I'm working on the fuzz.
No, we're going to
get there. We're going to get Jenna there. I want to go tea.
Jenna and I are going to start a sideshow.
Yeah, we are.
It's happening.
Bearded lady.
I think you mean you're going to continue a sideshow.
We're going to up our game, Salsa.
Should we take a break?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Here we go. We're going to come right back after this.
What? Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.